we're breathing. I think we're breathing. Lord, I just thank you for this day and everything you've done here today so far, Lord, for the work that you've started. And I pray that you just continue that work, Lord God. Be with me in the message. Help me speak clearly and get that message out, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with a Bible reading, and I'm digging in my regular Bible because I like the regular Bible. I like to feel the papers. Got to get my spectacles on, though. We're going to start out reading a passage, Mark 7, 24 through 30. And from there he went, arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord. Even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out, and her daughter was lying in bed. I'm going to put this over here. If anyone was here for Mother's Day, I'd talked about this message a little bit. I said I was going to use that in my message. It's kind of a little side story. And as I was reading and studying on it, I'm like, there's just too much here for this to be a little side story. I got this to be its own message. So that's where we're at today. Today's the day. Anyone like steak? I like steak. I like steak so much I got a whole bunch of cows running around in my field. That's how much I like steaks. I like to eat steak. When I eat steak with my family, my wife sits over there and she cuts about an inch away from the fat and cuts away from it because you can't eat the fat, so she says. And I'm sitting on my end of the table looking like, man, there's a lot of meat left on that bone. There's a lot more to be had there. Well, that's kind of where this message was. There's a lot more meat on that bone than to just throw it in a side story of that message. So today I want to talk about a burdened mother locates Jesus. It's not a Mother's Day message, but we're going from it. Who here has a need? Myself included. We all have needs, don't we? Anybody got any cares? Anxieties weighing heavy on your heart? I think we've seen that here today. Who came here today looking for something? Looking for a healing? Looking for a breakthrough in our lives? Looking for a blessing? Looking for some fellowship with fellow believers? Looking for a peace that cannot be found in the world? Amen? That's the story we're reading here today. The woman has a desperate need. She's seeking. She's searching. When your need is desperate enough, you'll go to any lengths to get that need met, right? Go to any lengths, great lengths. So in the Bible, there's thousands of named and unnamed peoples, right? All kinds of people. Some get a name, some don't get a name. But only a few are commended by Jesus for their faith. There's 10 lepers. He healed them all. Only one came back to give thanks. The Bible says Jesus commended him for his faith. Got the story of the parable of the people that came and brought their friend, the cripple, on the pallet. And they came to the house, but the house was so full they couldn't get in. They couldn't get in through the door, so they tore the roof open, lowered him down on the pallet. Jesus commended him for that. First thing he said to his friends is, "Your sins are forgiven," the ones that lowered him down. There's more of a story to that, too. But he healed the man on the pallet as well, but he commended them for their faith. The woman, the issue of blood, For 12 years, she was afflicted. It said she spent all that she had, everything she had, and suffered great at the hands of many physicians. For 12 years. But she thought if she could just get to Jesus and touch his robe, she'd be healed. She fought through the crowd, touched the corner of his garment. She was healed. Then she was a little afraid. But Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." So in our reading this morning, this unnamed woman, Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile. In Matthew's account or Matthew's parallel story, he calls her a Canaanite. She's from a despised race. I'm going to lay down a little history here. She's from a pagan culture. Despised. Greek out of pure Jews, she's a dog. Greek-speaking, Greek pagan God-worshipping woman from a despised region. But what is she in need of? She's in need of help. She's got a need. If you read earlier in the chapters of this story here, Jesus had just come off a huge clash with all the religious leaders and stuff, and they were arguing over the concept over what defiles a person, internal defilement. They were all upset because the disciples weren't washing their hands before they eat, and they were doing different things and not following their rituals or their traditions. So they're coming off this big clash, and Jesus said it's not on what's on the external that defiles a person, but it's on the internal. It doesn't matter if you're eating with dirty hands. It's what's inside that matters. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's not what's on the outside. It's on the inside what makes a person. They were hung up on all these rituals. It says if you read and study on it, it talks about over 600 different rules and laws and rituals that really have nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. They got more to do with hand washing and what clothes you're wearing and all this. And Jesus said it's what's on the inside that matters. So on purpose, right after this, Jesus goes to a pagan land, Gentile region. Jesus was kind of a bad boy sometimes a little bit. He liked to do things to stir things up. I don't want to say bad boy, but he knew what he was doing. So he goes to the Gentile region, surrounds himself by people that the Jews claim are unclean. He's going into enemy territory, basically. He's going behind the lines. So we read in the text there that we read, he got into a house and he wanted some rest. He was going to rest, but he could not be hidden. I'm going to read it again. Jesus went up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. And when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it, yet he could not escape notice. It's because of who he is. He could not escape notice. When Jesus is in a person, it cannot escape notice. Amen? I'm trying to get people fired up here a little bit. I heard an amen from my brother Clinton back there. When Jesus is in a church, he cannot be hidden. Amen. Amen. Woo. Jesus is in a community. He cannot be hidden. Jesus is in an individual. He cannot be hidden. Well, we better get some amens out of that. I mean, not that I'm any good, but we're laying it down there. I don't know. If we don't get excited about that, we're just a bunch of old farts filled with hot air. And we need to be excited about that. If Jesus is in you, he cannot be hidden. Christ, you need to be like a Southern Baptist church. A whole bunch of yelling. I told Kim, I said, I'm going to try to fire him up today. I said, but I don't know if I got it in me because that's usually not my style. I'm kind of laid back. I'm kind of reserved, but we need to be fired up. Christ lives in you. It's going to shine. That light better shine. Christ, the hope of glory, wherever you go, that cannot be hidden. It's going to show up. It's going to radiate. People are going to know that you are a Christian, because they are going to see it. You're not going to help but hide it. People on the bus, I guarantee you, know Steve is a Christian because he ain't hiding it. As Christians, we need to stop backing ourselves into a corner or into being quiet about it. We need to stand out there and shout it. Make it known. As I was thinking about this, I'm kind of thinking of a comparison. I'm like, I don't know if I really want to make that comparison, but it's true. We need to take an example from the world on this one a little bit. We are in a new woke movement era, and nobody hides nothing that they believe in, whether it's right or wrong. As Christians, we need to get out of the closet. We need to stand up there and proclaim. Boom. Proclaim loudly. Yes, I'm a Christian. I go to church. There's a lot of people that don't even know you might not go to church. I raise my hands when they sing. I shout. Carla dances a little bit. She used to dance a whole lot. She dances up and down the aisles. I shout amen. There's nothing wrong with that. You want to know who's making all that noise? Well, usually it's not me because I'm pretty quiet, but I'm in the front row and that's me. I'm making that noise. Who's jumping and dancing? Because when Christ is in you, that can't be hidden. Can't be hidden. Some of us sit there all dignified and quiet, proper-like. It's just not my style. That's my family. If Christ is in you, that cannot be hidden. Some of us know where he got us from. I don't have a huge testimony of being out on the streets or on drugs. I grew up in the church, but I still know that I know that I know that I know that he is going to shine in your life. When he is in you, that is not going to be hidden. Some of us know that situation he pulled us out of. I was going to find that picture of Steve and put it up on the computer with his permission, but I didn't do it. But that old picture, Steve knows where he pulled him from, right? From the miry clay, from the dirty streets of the hopelessness, gone nothing. Cleaned him up, forgave him his sins, sanctified him, turned him around, put his feet on the solid ground, right? Now look at, he's up there testifying and worshiping. That cannot be hidden. It's written on his arms. He can't control himself. It cannot be hidden. That cannot be hidden. This little light of mine, I'm gonna hide it under the pulpit. I'm gonna hide it. No, I'm gonna let it shine everywhere I go. Not just in church, not just when I'm around my people I'm comfortable. I'm gonna let it shine everywhere. I don't care what people think. If you care what people think, boy, what's he gonna think of you? I can't wait to church on Sunday. Man, I'm gonna get my worship on. Woo! It's a safe place. I don't know. What are we holding back? Let it go. Let it go. We're kind of a Pentecostal church, so my guys at work, they'll give me a little grief because they know we're a little different. And they'll get, did you have the snakes and vapors at the church today? And I'm like, say what you like, man. I never seen a snake in church, but sometimes the vapors come. God's in control and God's moving. That cannot be hidden. All right, back to my message. He's in Gentile territory. The Syrophoenician Canaanite woman is pursuing him. She's asking for something. Let's see my time frames here. If you think back into your Bible, you're reading and you're studying, in Deuteronomy, Joshua, old school, Old Testament, different laws, different rules. But they're getting ready to go in the Promised Land. They were ordered to exterminate, to kill all the Canaanites. They were that despised. They were pagan, and they didn't want them influencing the children of God. So they were ordered to kill them all. Different rules, different times. But the Jews, they despised the Canaanite. So full picture here. Here's a despised woman. Bible says in different readings, Hellenized, which is just a pagan, worshiping God, speaking Greek, living in Gentile territories. And at that, she's a woman. In those times, she couldn't get to Jesus. There's no way she could do it. It's against all their culture. It's against everything. But she's a mother burdened over her child. It's the number one reason she came. She didn't come because she wanted to follow Jesus. She was burdened over her child. Daughter was possessed by the devil. But all the cards are stacked against her. There's so many obstacles in the way. The door is full. Jesus is trying to remain hidden. He wants to rest. But she has a need that only Jesus can satisfy. When your need is desperate enough, you should go to any lengths. You don't care who's looking at you. You don't care who sees you up here crying on the altar or on the kneelers. Your need is desperate enough. We're going to press in. I know a lot of us aren't as committed. I got a good job. I got a little money in the bank. I got a couple cars. Sometimes I don't think I'm as desperate as sometimes we need to be. I press in, but sometimes when things are good, we don't press in like we do when we're really desperate, when we really have a need. We've gotten too comfortable. Church does not sound like church from years ago. We come, we get filled up our little bit, we sit there in our pew quiet-like, and we live our lives. We don't live church all week. We live church while we're there. Talk about coming to church to get filled up, coming to get my Jesus on, get my gas tank filled up. Sometimes if I'm running low midweek, I might slide in for a Wednesday to get topped off. I'm running low on gas, going to refill my tank. Why not run around with a full tank all the time? That's available to us. My gas tank is always full. As I was writing out my notes, it didn't look good. I said, I got so much gas, it's spilling all out. I'm going to add gasoline to that. I got so much gasoline in my tank, it's spilling all out. Everywhere I go, it's spilling on the ground. And I'm filling it up, and I got the nozzle. And you want some gas, Jerry? There you go. That's available to us. We don't have to just skimp by and make it from one service to the next. I got so much gas, I'm going to give you some of mine. Here, let's fill your tank up too. I came to church today because what? I'm a pastor's kid, and I got to preach. Is that why I came to church today? There's kind of a couple of the reasons, but I came to church because I have a need. If I'm not preaching, I'm still coming to church. Dad's gone, I'm still coming to church. I came because I need his mercy. We need his grace to help us in our time of need. I need the fellowship of the believers. I need his power to keep doing what God has me doing. I need his strength in my life. So when I'm weak, through him, I'm then strong. When you're weak, Bobby, he can make you strong. Sorry for calling you out, but in your time of weakness, he can make you strong. And then when I'm at church and I got my hands and I'm asking, and then when I received, I can raise them up. We come asking, but then we lift up once we've received. Amen. An affirmation of what you've received. Now, if we come in the right spirit, he's going to give you what you came for. David said, broken heart and a contrite spirit, he will not despise. For us simple folks, contrite, repentive. Come with a broken heart, a repentive spirit, he will not despise. If you confess your sins, he will have mercy. If you come to him in the right spirit, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't care what they think if I'm coming up front in the kneelers and I'm praying and I'm crying. I don't care. I have something that I need. And I know where to find it. I know that I know where to find it. I just have to come and get it. She came because her daughter was possessed by the devil. Those of us that are parents, we can testify to that, right? Sometimes we think, yeah, that's a different story. I got good kids. I just had to say that. Avery asked if I was in her message, and I said, no, you can be if you want to. Sometimes it looks, we might think, but as parents, we never got to stop praying. She came because her daughter was demons possessed. That's why she came. She cried out to Jesus, cried out for help. And what does it say he did? He was silent. He did not even reply. Ever been there before? You're crying out and you're yelling for help and you're screaming, and it's silent. That's tough times. Those are desperate times when we need to rely on what we have in reserves and restore in our, to get us through. I think I need to say, though, that God's silence at times is not his indication of his unwillingness to help, to meet your need. God's silence is not an indication of his unwillingness to meet your need. Rather, God's silence serves to temper our faith, to remind us that he doesn't operate on our schedule. He doesn't subscribe to this calendar of Corey Swartout. He does things in his time, right? He may not come when I want it or when I initially call, but he's not going to deny. When he decides he's ready, when the time is right, he's going to come and do what only he can do. Only what he can do. So the woman, the mother's annoying the disciples. She's crying out over and over and over and over. And you read Matthew's account of it. It says she kept hollering at Jesus. She kept on yelling at Jesus with a loud voice, getting louder and louder and louder. People were getting angry. The disciples got angry, and they were saying, send her away, Jesus. The constant screaming, the constant yelling was annoying them. It was getting on Peter's nerves. Got a little bit of a shorter fuse, I think. He's getting angry. Thomas, Andrew, a little more laid back, reserved. But they're starting to get on her. This Canaanite dog woman keeps following. Everywhere you go, she's following. She's yelling, Jesus, have mercy on my daughter. They wanted to send her away. Steve said it when he was talking to Bobby here this morning. A little bit. The Bible says the kingdom of God is violently taken by force. Kind of wonder what that means. We can't just grab our guns and go after it. But it's violently taken by force. Put up that Matthew. You got it up there. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. God admires people that do not give up. He's in love with people that violently, maybe vigorously is a better word in this era, go after what they want, what they need. Lord, I'm hollering at you, but I'm not hearing you. You act like you don't hear me, but you think I'm going to stop hollering? No, I'm just going to keep on hollering. Lord, I need you. And it looks like you're not going to show up, but I'm going to keep on hollering. Louder and louder and louder and louder. What's it say in the Bible? Ask, it shall be given. Seek, it shall find. Knock, keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Go after it with a violent passion, like a man on a mission, like your life depends on it, because your life does depend on it. Amen. Your life depends on it. Don't give up. Keep on knocking. The fire department, we go to a lot of houses. We go to all kinds of calls, and there's lots of different knocks. If I'm going to a little nice house in an apartment building, I might knock just a little bit. Depends on where I'm at, but sometimes you got to knock. Sometimes if I'm in an area where they're not answering, and I start knocking a little harder. Sometimes I use my fist, and I'm pounding away. There's lots of different knocking. I even got one that I like that sometimes my hand hurts, so I'll use my foot. And I start knocking violently because I need to get in. I knock your pew over, Jerry? Almost. And then when my need is really desperate, if there's a fire in there, or I open a window and I can see through a window, I'll just take my big axe and I knock the door right down. Sometimes I usually try just to make sure it's not locked. But if it is locked, I'm busting that door right down. Sometimes you get doors are usually secured pretty good. And if I need to get in bad enough, I'll just go to the wall next to the door and I break that down because it's a little easier. We need to work on our knocking skills. You laughing at me over there? Keep on keeping on. It's starting to get loud in here. We're starting to annoy some people, getting on some people's nerves, but I don't care because you don't know where I'm coming from. You don't know the situation I'm in. You don't know my need. I'm going to keep on knocking. Lord, open this door because I am coming in. Boom. Keep on shouting. We go to apartment buildings. Sometimes I'm knocking. Next thing you know, all these doors are open up, and everybody on the whole hallway is looking out because they hear my knocking. I'm knocking. They want to know what's going on. That's what we need to be doing. Yeah. We're knocking so loud that everybody around us is, all the lights in the neighborhood and the houses are coming on because everybody's wondering what's going on. Keep on knocking. Knock louder. Do not just, you in there, Jesus? I'm down. Let's break some knuckles on our knocking. If you keep on asking, actually the Bible says he will give you the desires of your heart. You have not because you ask not. Let them laugh at you because you're hollering, because you're praising God and you're raising your hands or you're crying up here. I cried during worship. I don't care. So Jesus heard what she was saying, and he answered her, and to us, what might sound a little harsh. To be honest with you, when I first read it or when you're younger, I didn't really understand it. He said, "For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." That sounds pretty harsh. We did that today. We talked about being offended. It's funny how a lot of things we said today kind of plays into where my message was going. We talked about being offended. Imagine that if I came to church and Pastor Hardy called someone a little dog. Whew. What's going to happen today? We are going to get some attitude. I am offended. That's it. I'm done with this church. I like this church, but I am out of here. He called me a dog. You believe that? How dare he call me a dog? We get offended pretty easy. You can keep your Jesus stuff and your holier-than-thou attitude. I don't want it anymore. You can't talk to me like that. The disciples, they missed the message. They didn't catch it, but the woman didn't miss it. What'd she answer back? Yes, Lord. I don't care that you're calling me what you're calling me. Yes, Lord, I still need. She wasn't offended. Jesus wasn't saying, "I'm not going to get to you." He wasn't denying her. He was saying, "First, let me give the children their bread, and then I'm going to get to you second. I'm going to get to you in my timing." She answered and says, yes, I know you got to feed the bread to the children first, but I'll take seconds. I'll take the crumbs that's left over. Anybody here like cooking? I'm a good cook. I cook a lot at the fire hall. Spaghetti tastes better on the second day. Curry tastes better on the second. Give the spices some time to blend. And to, on the second day, after I've waited, and then he meets my need, it tastes better. He's not denying her. I also don't think he's calling her a dog or a, well, he did call her a dog, little dog. It's not a scavenger or a wild mongrel loose dog that just runs the street. Jesus speaks in parables all the time, and I think he's comparing her to a house pet. It says a little dog. A dog that is loved by its family knows that sooner or later it's going to get some crumbs, right? They've already eaten all their food. We feed our dogs, but yet they're always looking for seconds or scraps or little tidbits. See where I'm going here? God has a habit of salvaging what other people throw away and using it. Society might have thrown it away. Our families might have thrown you away. God will take what others throw away and use it. So we got three dogs at home. One more than I, head of the house, man of the house, or even the wife of the house, second and authorized. Remember when we talked about parents thinking the kids might be possessed? I don't know. He smiles, but he knows he's guilty as charged. Then one day they go to a horse show, and they come back, and you raise them in church, and you think you're teaching them right, and all of a sudden they're keeping secrets, and they're telling not really lies, but half-truths, and whew, Lord have mercy. We have three dogs, and they're in the house. They're farm dogs, but they come in the house. They run around, but there are rules. And when we eat in the kitchen where the wood is in the dining room, they're not allowed in there. So they sit in the living room where the carpet rule, they got the carpet rule. And their feet, usually they lay there and put their paws right over the carpet rule. But they know they can't be in there. And, oh, you put the dog picture up. All right, that's not my dog. I would not have a little cute dog like that. We're farm people, and I have manly dogs. I'm getting to little Ruby here in a minute. But they sit on that, and they just sit there, and they watch you eat. And they know the rules. They can't cross that line. But they just sit there just waiting. The big one, he might look at it, he goes, when Mom's done with that steak, I'll take that steak, because there's a lot of meat left on that bone. And then Dad gets the steak, and he cleans it off, and it's all gone. But they know eventually, I'm going to take that, and I'm going to go outside on the deck and throw the bone, and they're going to get to eat some steak. So now my friend Gary, on the other hand, he's my retired driver. He has, his wife has passed, and they have no kids. But he has two kids right there, and that's Ruby, a.k.a. Princess Angel. I told him I was preaching about his dog today, and I was thinking he might come, but I don't see him here. He goes to another church. She has got him so wrapped around his finger, it is unreal. She is a loved dog. She is not a scavenger. She's not a mongrel. She knows when she's sitting there, she's going to get a bite. Click another picture too, Rocky. Look at them eyes. She gives you them eyeballs, and he can't help but resist. Click another one or two. And I go to his house. Well, next picture. Well, yeah, fourth one. When I go to his house, he doesn't abide by the carpet rule. And look at the little dog is in my armpit. She's on the table, and I got to, like, guard my food because she's coming in for some crumbs. Next picture. When I went and looked, I had all kinds of pictures like that. She knows that she knows that she knows that she's loved, and she is going to get a crumb. Now, if she's off in the kitchen laying somewhere or in the living room, she might not get that crumb. She is a loved dog, and she knows sooner or later, she's going to get something. He acts all big when I'm there, and he makes half a pound of bacon, and we each get two slices, and then there's like six left on the counter, and he says they're for tomorrow, but I guarantee you as soon as I leave, Ruby's eating all the bacon. How about this one? Mom's in the kitchen cooking pudding, and you're mixing the pudding with the spoon. And as kids, it kind of is going away because we use instant pudding or things are easier now, but I remember hanging out in the kitchen waiting for the spoon because I knew if I was close, I was going to get a reward. I was going to hand the spoon. There's three of us, usually only one spoon, so as the biggest, I got the first lick. And then you handed it down or... If I'm waiting there by my mom's side or my grandma's side, I know there's going to be a reward. Ruby knows if she sits there and uses them eyeballs, there's going to be a reward. And that's what the woman said. Yes, Lord, but a crumb from your table is a gourmet meal. I'll take a crumb from your table, Lord. Let your crumbs follow me. A crumb from you is better than a whole meal from my enemy. I'll take your crumbs. I got in here, and I don't think I put it online, but Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and you can help me out here if you want. I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Hit the wrong button. Restores my soul. Guides me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when times are looking bad, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemy. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, surely goodness and love and kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He will take care of you. He's going to let some crumbs fall. So the mother said, whatever it takes, I'm willing. If you got to call me a dog, call me a dog. I'll wait on your crumbs, Lord. I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to keep hollering, and I'm going to keep getting louder and louder until you bless me. Remember the story of Jacob? Wrestled with the angel till the breaking of the day. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Imagine wrestling with an angel. Whew. Kingdom of God is taken by those who do not give up. Keep coming to church, even when you don't want to. Keep praying, keep worshiping, keep crying out. The Bible says when Jesus saw her faith, he held it all up for everyone to see. She came because she had a need. Her daughter was possessed by the devil. Verse 25 tells us why she cried out. She cried out because she had heard about him. It's Canaanite dog, Syrophoenician, pagan Greek woman. She didn't believe, but she had heard. She said, someone told me you were in Galilee at a wedding feast. They'd run out of wine. They brought ordinary water pots in full of water. And you looked in, and blushed red. The governor said, you saved the best wine for last. She had heard they were in the desert, and all the super ones and the cub foods were closed, and there was nowhere to buy any bread or any food. And the crowd had gathered. The little boy had two fish and five loaves. You took them in your hands. And you fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And there was so much left over. left over. She said, I heard that Jairus' daughter was at the point of death, and you were on her way there. And on your way there, the woman with the issue of blood came and simply touched your robe, and she was healed. There's this man that brought their son to the disciples. The devil was possessed him, and he was throwing him in the water and was throwing him in the fire. He came down from the mountain, and he touched the boy and made him whole. She heard Peter's mother-in-law had a fever, and all you did was put your hands on her, and she was healed. There's a man with a withered hand. And even though it was the Sabbath and all the religious people said you shouldn't do it on the Sabbath, he reached out and told him to extend his hand, and his hand was just like the other one, healed. Blind man, again on the Sabbath, came and he spit on the ground and made some mud, put it on his eyes, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, came out healed. The mother heard that you are a God that cannot fail. My daughter's possessed by the devil, and I need you to heal her. She believed. Some of us here today are here because we heard, right? We heard the message. You might have seen the thing on the sign, like the one guy that came in. I heard you were born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, baptized in the Jordan. I heard. I got a whole list of I heards here. I was just going crazy writing them down, but I don't know that I need to read them all, but I heard you as Noah's Ark, Moses' burning bush, Mary's baby boy, Matthew's king, Mark's suffering servant, Luke's great physician, John's word made flesh, Acts coming of the Holy Ghost, the only begotten Son of the Father, the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. I heard. I'm here today because I heard. He died on an old rugged cross, an old rugged cross. Died until the sun refused to shine. Till the centurion's shoulder said, I believe we killed the wrong man. Died until the soldier said, surely he must be the Son of God. But what happened on Sunday? God had too much at stake. He wasn't going to leave him there. He had too much at stake. Wasn't going to leave him there. He had a need. He needed to come. He had a mission, but he wasn't going to leave him there in the ground. I heard the voice of Jesus saying, come unto me. And rest. Lay down, weary one, lay down. Some of us here today, we're never going to get that breakthrough we want. We're never going to get the healing we need because we're too proud, too dignified, too proud to let others know that we're suffering or that I have a need. I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to suffer and I'm going to bear it. I'm never going to get the breakthrough. What did the Bible say about the mother when she said, yes, Lord, I'll take the crumbs? The Bible says it told her to go your way. And when she went, Jesus had already answered her prayers. He had already healed the girl, set her free. She was laying on the bed when she got home. Jesus doesn't have to come to your house. Doesn't have to come to you But you got to locate him. Just like that mother, she went after him. She pursued it. When the cards were all stacked against him, against her, she pursued him. She had to locate him. The woman with the blood, if I could just touch his robe. The guy's lowering him through the roof, if we could just get there. Ask means keep on asking. Don't ask once. Don't ask meek. Keep on asking. Seek means to keep on seeking. Knock means to keep on knocking louder and louder and louder. He's going to show up. He will, guarantee you, show up. What's the word say about his, the Bible say about his word? Will not return to be void, but it will accomplish what I sent it out to accomplish. If we keep on knocking, if we keep on asking, if we keep on seeking, you're going to get that breakthrough you need. You're going to get that healing you need. You're going to get it in his time, but you're going to get what he has for you. He's not up there just holding it and keeping it and waiting for you to, okay, now is it. Keep on asking. Keep on pressing in. Keep on working on your knocking skills. Because if we're down here just knocking away casually and quietly, sometimes we might not get heard. He's going to hear it, but he wants us to go after it violently. And I'm not saying to go out of here today and do violence. Because if somebody goes out of here and does violence today in the name of Corey from church, I'm not going to bail you out. But I want you to violently pursue him. Violently pursue and go after what he has. Wholeheartedly, vigorously, with all your heart. Like your life depends on it. Because it does. If I just sit down here knocking, I need to pursue it. He's got rewards. There's rewards in heaven that are going to be stacked up. So if you got a need, I dare you to keep on asking. I dare you to keep on praying. I dare you to keep on knocking. Don't give up. Don't be dismayed. Don't lose courage. Don't care who's looking at you. Raise your hands. Shout amen. Get some fire going. Vigorously go after, because he will not deny. His word will not go away void without accomplishing. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You know, with that, I would just, anybody that would have a need, we'd like you to go ahead. I mean, whatever it might be, emotionally, any kind of thing. If you feel that there's some kind of a need in your life, whether it's someone else or in your body or whatever it might be, it does relationships, anything, if you feel you got a need, go ahead, just stand your feet. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, God.